1 through 16. And out of reverence, would you stand as God's word is read? Now listen to what the Lord is saying. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your complaint. Listen to the Lord's lawsuit, you mountains and enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people, and he will argue it against Israel. My people, what have I done to you, or how have I wearied you? Testify against me. Indeed, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from that place of slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam ahead of you. My people, remember what King Balak of Moab proposed, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from the acacia grove to Gilgal, so that you may acknowledge the Lord's righteous acts. What should I bring before the Lord when I come to bow before God on high? Should I come before him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with tens of thousands streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my transgression, the offspring of my body for my own sin? Mankind, he has told each of you what is good. And what is the Lord, and what it is the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. The voice of the Lord calls out to the city, and it is wise to fear your name. Pay attention to the rod and the one who ordained it. Are there still the treasures of wickedness and the accursed short measure in the house of the wicked? Can I excuse wicked scales or bags of deceptive weight? For the wealthy of the city are full of violence, and its residents speak lies. The tongues in their mouths are deceitful. As a result, I have begun to strike you severely, bringing desolation because of your sins. You will eat, but not be satisfied, for there will be hunger within you. What you acquire, you cannot save. And what you do save, I will give to the sword. You will sow, but not reap. You will press olives, but not anoint yourself with oil. And you will tread grapes, but not drink the wine. The statutes of Omri and all the practices of Ahab's house have been observed. You have followed their policies. Therefore, I will make you a desolate place and the city's residents an object of contempt. You will bear the scorn of my people. You may be seated. Sunday, we were looking at chapter 5 in Micah and looking at how the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior of Israel and the whole world was coming. The promised Messiah. In our Christmas little display, we always have the wise men there, although they didn't come at the birth of Jesus. They came when Jesus was out of the stable and in a house, and the Greek word there is, when the wise men saw him, was a toddler. But the wise men came, and they came into Jerusalem, and they asked, where is the King of the Jews that's been born? And the religious leaders said, oh, that's an easy one. Micah, the prophet, tells us it's going to be in Bethlehem. And in chapter 5, verse 2, it tells us Bethlehem is the birthplace of the Savior, the one that was born. And the Messiah is also prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, as being born of the virgin. This would be the one that was pregnant, described in Micah 5. And then it talks about the nature of the Messiah. His origin will be from of ancient times, talking about the divinity of Jesus. And the Messiah would be a physical healer, Isaiah chapter 35 tells us. And Isaiah 61 says he will be a spiritual healer. Isaiah 53 tells us the Messiah will be rejected. And Daniel, in his prophecy in chapter 9, tells about the 70 weeks of years that are going to be laid out from the issuing of the decree to go back and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one comes in Jerusalem will be 69 weeks of years, 483 years, and 483 years to the day from the decree of Cyrus to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey. And then it says, at the end of that 69, there'll be a break, and the anointed one will be cut off. This is the interim period before the last week, the 70th week, which would be the 7 years of tribulation described in the book of Revelation. And let me pause and chase a rabbit and maybe a squirrel at the same time there. You might have been hearing about the objects that are unidentified, that are being shot at or flying away from our military aircraft. And there have been speculations that it is aliens visiting our planet. Well, as I said many times, especially when I preached through Revelation, when millions of people disappear, when the church is raptured, one of the explanations is probably going to be alien abduction. And maybe this is a laying the groundwork to remind people, plant that seed in their mind that maybe aliens are out there and they're going to take people. So Satan will use that as an excuse when the Christians are raptured. Now, it doesn't say that in Scripture. That's just a theory I have, a way that would explain, that would be acceptable to some people that don't want to accept the truth of where did all the people go. And back in Isaiah chapter 53 and Psalm 22, it tells us the Messiah was pierced for our transgressions, pierced for us. And Jesus was crucified with nails through his hands and feet. That was not a form of execution during the time of Isaiah or Micah or David when they wrote about it in Scripture. And then Isaiah 52 and 53 talks about Messiah will not stay among the dead. He will rise. And Psalm 16 verse 10, Scripture tells us that the Lord will not leave his anointed one abandoned to the grave. And then Zechariah 12, 10 talks about the second coming of Christ. And we see that in the book of Revelation as well. So, chapter 5 is promising, even among the judgment that Micah's talking about, he's talking about God is going to come back and straighten everything out. There is a leader, the Messiah, the anointed one, that means the same thing, the Christ in Greek, they all mean the same thing, is a leader from God who is God that's coming back to fix all the problems going on. And there are a lot of problems going on in our world today. But it's nothing new. They were going on at the time of Micah. And that is why judgment is coming on Israel. And that's what chapter 6 talks about. Now, if you've ever seen a court case, you know there's a prosecutor that brings a charge. And there's a defendant that says, I didn't do it, or don't punish me too bad. And there's a judge who judges. Well, God is bringing his lawsuit, his case, against rebellious Israel. Look at what it says in verse 1 of chapter 6 of Micah. Now listen to what the Lord is saying. Don't listen to the news reports. Don't listen to what people are saying. Listen to what God is saying, because it makes a difference. If you're at work and one of your coworkers says you need to do this or that, it doesn't carry the same weight as if the boss comes in and says you need to do this or that. There's a little difference. And God is the creator of everything, and this is what he's saying. Not the opinion of your coworker or your subordinate, but the word of the boss. And then he says, rise up, plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear your complaint. Listen to the Lord's lawsuit, you mountains and enduring foundations of the earth. He's saying, things that are steady, unchangeable, let them judge. In our society today, people will talk about what gender they are. And I think the last number I heard, there's at least 250 different genders. And put that opinion up against genetics. The 23rd chromosome. Either two X's or an X and a Y. That will determine, are you a boy or a girl? Two X's, you're a girl. An X and a Y, you're a boy. That's the facts of genetics. But you can say you're anything you want. But when put up against the science that you can see and test, the opinions fall away. There was an article in the New York Times earlier this week talking about somebody that his daughter thought she was bisexual in middle school, but now has come out as a lesbian. But his daughter is a boy. And his daughter, who said it was his daughter, has now decided he likes girls. So now he's a lesbian. And his wife, he says, has now changed her outlook on everything about her own sexuality. He said, I'm so glad to be in a queer family that I know what's right and wrong now. No, he doesn't know what's right and wrong unless he looks at what God says and the truth. God made Adam and Eve, made them male and female. It was God's design. And God is the one that's saying, this is the truth. Listen, mountains, you don't change. Listen, foundations of the earth, you don't change. God is bringing the truth to Israel. But people like to argue with that. And look at verse 3. My people, what have I done to you? Or how have I wearied you? Testify against me. It's very often that you hear teenagers say, you are not letting me do anything. You're spoiling my life. And that is what Israel was doing to God. God, you're spoiling our life. But just like the parents can respond, I provided a house for you. I provided food, clothing, education, training, protection. God's saying the same thing. Look at verse 4. Indeed, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the place of slavery. Remember where you were in Egypt? You were a slave. And God showed his power over all the false gods of Egypt. Every plague was an attack on one of the false gods of Egypt. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam ahead of you. God provided leaders to show them God's way. My people, remember what King Balak of Moab proposed? What Balaam, son of Beor, answered him? Okay, if you don't remember, Balak called Balaam and said, Balaam, I want you to curse Israel. And Balaam was trying to ride away on his donkey. And his donkey kept going up against the walls on the side of the road. And then Balaam starts beating his donkey, and the donkey starts talking to him. said, why are you beating me? Have I ever done anything to you before? Now, Balaam doesn't think there's anything strange with this. It should have been, you know. You don't generally go around talking to your donkey. Only in the TV show, Francis the Talking Horse, or whatever the talking mule was. Francis was a mule? Well, we had two of them. There was a horse that talked and a mule that talked. So it's been a while. Okay. Well, Balaam's donkey says, don't you see the angel of God in front of me? And then Balaam's eyes were open and he said, oh, sorry, donkey. You saw something I didn't. And then Balaam goes to Balak. Balak is a king who wants Balaam to curse Israel. And Balaam says, all I can do is do a blessing or say whatever God says. And he gets up and he prays a blessing on Israel. And then it says, and what happened from the acacia grove to Gilgal? The nation of Israel was coming in from Egypt. They stopped on the east side of the Jordan River at the acacia grove. They stayed there a few days. And then it was time to cross the Jordan River to head west. And God split the Jordan River and they walked across on dry ground. The water of the Jordan River was piled up. Not only did God split the water in the Red Sea, he split the water 40 years later at the Jordan River. And that's what it's referring to here. Remember, God dried up the Jordan River so you could walk across? As soon as the priest with the ark, they stepped into the river, it dried up, it stopped. And then as soon as they got out, the water came back. And if you look right over there, there's still that pile of stones on the side of the Jordan River that y'all got from the middle of the Jordan River when your ancestors crossed. And so Micah is conveying God's word. Remember what I've done? You're complaining I'm making things wearisome, tiresome for you. But you've forgotten all that God has done. And then in verse 6, our passage talks about, what can I do to make things right with God? There was a jury verdict, I think either today or yesterday, a person that had gone into a church and killed 10 people. And he was given life in prison without the possibility of parole. Imagine if he had gone up to the judge and said, oh, before you give me the penalty, I found this quarter on the ground. Here, this will be sufficient for my killing of those 10 people. You say, that's absurd. Well, that's what Israel is trying to do, trying to make things right with God by giving him offerings. Should I give you a year-old calf as an offering to make things right for my transgression? How about 10,000 rams? How about or 1,000 rams or 10,000 units of oil, streaming rivers of oil? Will that be enough to satisfy you, God? Let me make things right with God on my own terms. And God says, no, I've told you how to get right with me. Act justly. That means act in the right way according to what God says is right and wrong. Love faithfulness. That's being committed to doing what's right, whether anybody's looking or not. Being faithful to God. And walking humbly with your God. Not proud, look at me, I'm a Christian. Or look at me, I'm an Israelite. But saying, It's because of God's mercy that I have his blessing. It's like the phrase that I've stole from Dave Ramsey. He still uses it too. How you doing? Better than I deserve. We need to remember what blessings we have, we don't deserve. We deserve punishment for our sin, but God has given us blessing. But Israel's trying to justify their actions. And so verse 9 tells us that God is bringing judgment. Verse 9, the voice of the Lord calls out to the city, and it is wise to fear your name. Pay attention to the rod and the one who ordained it. There's a phrase that spare the rod and spoil the child. Well, in our society today, it's just spare the rod. California has proposed a law that any unruly children shall not be disciplined, not suspended, not removed from the classroom, because it can hurt their personality. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 13 for a minute. Let's see what God says. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. The one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves him disciplines him diligently. In chapter 23 and verse 13. Don't withhold the discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod, and you will rescue his life from Sheol. God has created our bodies with a certain part of our anatomy that has a high number of nerve endings and no vital organs. What is happening in our society today is that we are withholding any kind of discipline from wrongdoing. So we're raising a society that thinks there's no consequence for wrongdoing. It's not an accident that we're sparing the rod. It's an intention of Satan to get us not to think, or to get us to think there's not going to be any discipline from God. And God is saying right here back in Micah, pay attention to the rod. Pay attention to my discipline, Israel. And the one who ordained it. I'm the one, God says, who said there needs to be discipline when there's wrongdoing. But did they pay attention? God says, you know, are there still ill-gotten gains in the houses of Israel? Do you still have a bag of dishonest weights? And that's when you have a balance beam scale. They'd have a bag of light weights and a bag of heavy weights, so instead of accurate weights. So if you were buying something from somebody, you'd put your heavy weights on there. So you got more on your light weights when you're selling it, and vice versa, so that you'd pay less than the person deserved. And you charge more than the person should charge. They had dishonest measurements. God says, I hate that, but you still got it in your houses. You say you're trying to get right with me, but you're cheating other people. Verse 13, as a result, I have begun to strike you severely, bringing desolation because of your sins. Israel, you got enemies at your doorstep because you're not listening to what I'm trying to tell you, says God. There's going to be all kind of trouble. And then it ends in verse 16. The statutes of Omri and all the practices of Ahab's house have been observed. You have followed their policies. Therefore, I make you a desolate place, and the city's residents an object of contempt. you will bear the scorn of my people. In Jerusalem, the king set up false statues to false gods. And God is saying, if you're not going to worship the true God in the city that bears my name, there's not going to be any gods there. It's just going to be white clean because you didn't pay attention to the truth. God is bringing judgment. He brought his case against Israel. He says, let me show you the truth. You're not doing what's right. And judgment's going to come. If God does that to his chosen people, can anyone else expect any less judgment? God is showing through Israel that he brings judgment in his timing. And we need to learn that there is a day of reckoning and God's going to bring it. But we also need to learn, just like he showed us with the Messiah, there is hope that is coming. There's a judgment day, but there's a God who has provided a way that we can look forward to that judgment day because we have already had our judgment, our punishment taken by God himself. Let's remember to share the hope with others. But hope is meaningless unless you understand what the hope is based on. Salvation is meaningless unless you understand what you're saved from. So let's tell the whole truth to everyone we encounter. Lord, I thank you for this time we could be here. I thank you for the truth that you conveyed through the prophet Micah, how it applied to Israel, and the truth applies to us also. Let us look to you in all we do, in all your decisions. Let us follow them. Let us love justice, be faithful in our life, and walk humbly before you. In Jesus' name.